Support for Insight comes from University of the Pacific McGeorge School of Law, offering a 4-year part-time evening program for professionals working full-time in California's capital. Details at law.pacific.edu.
Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Mahsa Amini, just over a year ago, the 22-year-old woman was arrested by Iran's so-called morality police for improper dress, allegedly not wearing her hijab, a headscarf, in accordance with Iranian government standards. She was severely beaten and died while in custody. Her death sparked outrage around the world. Protests broke out in Iran, the largest in years. Many Iranian women even removed their hijabs and cut their hair in public as a sign of protest. Next week, a new exhibit will be revealed at the University Union Gallery on the campus of Sac State, and it's called The Seen Iranian Woman. It is inspired by the tragic events surrounding Mahsa Amini's death. The goal of the exhibit is to shed light on what it's been like to be an Iranian woman in recent years through art, poetry, history, and fashion. The exhibition is curated by Jale Noz, professor of fashion, merchandising, and management at Sac State. Jale is joined by Sac State's director of Iranian and Middle Eastern Studies, Sahar Rezavi. Welcome to you both. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Before we dive into this exhibit, which kicks off next week, Sahar, I want to start with you. If you can take us back to last September, you joined us on Insight following Mahsa Amini's death. Just remind us about what happened.
Sure. So as you said, she was a young woman, a Kurdish-Iranian woman visiting Tehran with her family. She was detained by, as you said, the so-called morality police or guidance patrol, depending on the translation. And she was beaten. She fell into a coma and she died a couple of days later. And when news of her death was leaked by some intrepid journalists. Outrage, as you said, broke out. The largest protests in years, the protests that posed the greatest challenge to the regime in many years, broke out, and also solidarity protests around the world. And those street demonstrations actually turned into more organized and coordinated actions, like labor strikes, student protests around universities. The government responded, as they usually do, with violence, with repression, with mass arrests. Almost 20,000 people were arrested. Several hundred, over 500 people were killed. At least 9 were executed. There are still several on death row for charges related to the protests. And so at this point, there is still protest happening, but it has somewhat died down on the street, as, again, it often does in response to state brutality. But there are still actions going on. We just sort of hear about them less at this point.
Yeah, I was going to ask because, I mean, it was only a year ago. Is there still, in your view, an adequate amount of coverage about this?
You know, I think that given the importance of these protests for the Iranian political and social landscape, I would like there to be more coverage of this. I don't think that there is enough, in my personal view. I understand why it happens that way. I know how the news works. But one of the primary kind of central calls that we had from Iranians at the height of the street protests was they said, Maro Tanha Nazarid, don't leave us alone here. And what that meant, it meant several different things. But for me, one of the most important calls to action for us was keep us highlighted, keep us spotlighted. Don't forget about what we're doing here. Don't leave us to our fate here by ourselves. It was a call for solidarity. It was a call for attention on what they were going through. And to the extent possible, I think it would be very important for the movement for there to be continued coverage of what they're doing.
And a piece of this, I mean, art is powerful. And Jale, that brings me to you. When did you start thinking about putting together this exhibit?
Yeah, so thank you for having me on. I'm very grateful to be here and to have this talk about Iran. It was the 2022 protests when I was driving to campus to teach and just grasping for news, trying to connect, being an immigrant living here. I moved here when I was 9. I just felt like that could have been me. It just felt very personal. It felt, but then at the same time, I felt very distant. I was living kind of a very detached life here. And I wanted to connect. So I wanted to have a space where people in on campus were Iranians, where people could come together and dive deeper into what has been going on and what life has been like for Iranian women the last few decades. And just wanting that platform and that space is what motivated me to do the exhibit.
And you grew up in Iran.
Yeah, I was born in Iran. I lived there until I was nine. So I lived through the Iran-Iraq War and went to public schools. At nine, you dress in the school uniform where your hair is covered, long sleeves, long pants, all navy is what I wore. I remember a memory when I got in trouble for having nail polish on my fingers. I remember being stopped and having someone wipe their fingers on my eyelashes to make sure I didn't have mascara on. And so that was kind of my early experience in Iran. And then when we moved to America in 92, being a very lower socioeconomic family, fashion kind of just hits you in the face because it can be a tool for social change and a way to get attention, but it can also be an important tool to fit in and to conform, which is kind of all you want when you're in middle school in America at a young age. And, you know, and then later on, fashion turned into a means of survival for us. My mom started an alteration shop, and that's where I learned how to sew. And then I've continued on with designing, teaching at the university level, and just seeing how important of a tool mm-hmm. fashion can be.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, because fashion is so much more than just clothes, and you laid that out beautifully. Given that you have this experience of living in Iran and also living here, do you see parallels with when it comes to fashion and specifically women?
Yeah, this coming up with this exhibit, one of my goals was to create this platform to observe, learn, and dive deeper. But another one, I have three daughters, and it has been to show kids are so visual. So it's really been to help them visualize what fashion was like for women in the 50s, 60s, 70s in Iran, the freedoms that they had, and then how quickly that changed and those freedoms were pulled away. For my daughters, when they walk through this exhibit and any other kids, I want them to really see that and let it sink in of how the choices and the freedoms that they have today is not something that's guaranteed to them in the future, and that they really need to stay connected, stay involved, not become complacent, and to see this expression in fashion and to always demand equality.
Yeah. I mean, you sent some of the pieces and I got to take a look at some of them. And, you know, obviously, like, art can, I mean, the best art makes you feel really profound things. And what I felt was kind of what you laid out. I mean, there are some beautiful pieces, but you also remember that there's adversity and there's pain, and fashion can illustrate that. When you were curating this, putting this all together, that must have been an emotional journey for you.
It's been really emotional. It's been really emotional, and it's been extremely educational. Moving here at a young age, you kind of get consumed into like the need to fit in and belong, and you just want to fit into the American image. And then this experience has forced me to dig deep into my roots and have a lot of conversations with my parents. My mom's 80, my dad's almost 90. And on this topic, they were the experts, and it helped me understand why was it that my grandma chose to wear a hijab? Why was it that my mom talks about her days wearing miniskirts in Iran? What has happened? And it's just been an extremely enlightening experience.
I love that, because it's not just taking in the exhibit, it's what happens after the exhibit, and it can be quite powerful.
Yeah.
Sahar, when you took it all in, or I would imagine you've seen a lot of these pieces, you know, how did it make you feel?
Well, for me, I'm already sort of immersed in the political and historical for in Iran, because that's my area of study. It's my area of specialization. And so for me to have an opportunity to look at the art side was very profound. It was it hit me in a whole different kind of sense, because academics tend, especially in my field, we tend to get kind of cerebral about these issues. And for me, it's very personal because of my family, because of the family history, the connections, my family's experiences before and during the Iranian Revolution and after. There's a whole kind of complex family history for me as well. So I really appreciated the opportunity to become involved in a side of it that I don't often have a chance to become involved in. And I was really, I am very grateful to Jale for inviting me to be involved in this.
Yeah. You know, Jale, I want to also touch upon, I mean, you have this other personal art piece that's taking shape and evolving at Sacramento State with the beautiful trees on campus. Can you talk to us about that? You sent some images of it and they're just beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, one of the pieces actually that I plan on including is a dress I made in honor of Neda Aga Sultan, who was killed in the 2009 protests. The other one is, you know, kind of the days after the 22 last year's protests, I was just kind of lost in the environment of walking to work. I just felt very lost. And so what I was noticing was the leaves that were falling off the trees, oftentimes very quietly, but they're beautiful. And some of them, it looked like they weren't dried up yet and they were just falling. And so I just naturally started grabbing them. And then over the last year, I've collected them. My kids collect them. We've pressed them. And I've come up with an idea of writing down the names of the extremely brave women, the people who've lost their lives in fighting for equality and freedom, on these leaves. And for me, that has been a way to mourn their loss one by one, to see them, to remember them, but then also to demonstrate how many lives are quietly falling before their time and how tragic all this is. And so that's kind of my fashion designer make it work because it's not done yet piece that I hope to add in.
Shelly and Sahar, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for talking about this.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to the exhibit. Jale Nos is a professor of fashion merchandising and management at Sacramento State. Sahar Razavi is the director of Sacramento State's Iranian and Middle Eastern Studies. The scene, Iranian Woman, is at Sacramento State, and it opens next week. We have more information on our Insight page. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at insight@capradio.org. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here on Monday.